Chapter 32. Although Rachel Sexton was currently sitting inside a large metal box situated 3,000 miles from Washington, D.C., she felt the same pressure as if she'd been summoned to the White House. The video phone monitor before her displayed a crystal-clear image of President Zach Herney seated in the White House communications room before the presidential seal. The digital audio connection was flawless, and with the exception of an almost imperceptible delay, the man could have been in the next room. Their conversation was upbeat and direct. The president seemed pleased, though not at all surprised, by Rachel's favorable assessment of NASA's find and of his choice to use Michael Tollin's captivating persona as a spokesman. The president's mood was good-natured and jocular. "As I'm sure you will agree," Herney said, his voice growing more serious now, "in a perfect world, the ramifications of this discovery would be purely scientific in nature." He paused, leaning forward, his face filling the screen. "Unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. And this NASA triumph is going to be a political football the moment I announce it."
"Considering the conclusive proof and who you've recruited for endorsements, I can't imagine how the public or any of your opposition will be able to do anything other than accept this discovery as confirmed fact."
Herney gave an almost sad chuckle. "My political opponents will believe what they see, Rachel. My concerns are that they won't like what they see." Rachel noted how careful the president was being not to mention her father. He spoke only in terms of the opposition or political opponents.
"And you think your opposition will cry conspiracy simply for political reasons?" she asked.
"That is the nature of the game. All anyone needs to do is cast a faint doubt. Saying that this discovery is some kind of political fraud concocted by NASA and the White House, and all of a sudden I'm facing an inquiry. The newspapers forget NASA has found proof of extraterrestrial life, and the media starts focusing on uncovering evidence of a conspiracy. Sadly, any innuendo of conspiracy with respect to this discovery will be bad for science, bad for the White House, bad for NASA, and, quite frankly, bad for the country."
"Which is why you postponed announcing until you had full confirmation and some reputable civilian endorsements."
"My goal is to present this data in so incontrovertible a way that any cynicism is nipped in the bud. I want this discovery celebrated with the untainted dignity it deserves. NASA merits no less."
Rachel's intuition was tingling now. "What does he want from me?"
"Obviously," he continued, "you are in a unique position to help me. Your experience as an analyst, as well as your obvious ties to my opponent, give you enormous credibility with respect to this discovery."
Rachel felt a growing disillusionment. "He wants to use me, just like Pickering said he would."
"That said," Herney continued, "I would like to ask that you endorse this discovery personally, for the record, as my White House intelligence liaison, and as the daughter of my opponent."
There it was, on the table. "Herney wants me to endorse."
Rachel really had thought Zach Herney was above this kind of spiteful politics. A public endorsement from Rachel would immediately make the meteorite a personal issue for her father, leaving the senator unable to attack the discovery's credibility without attacking the credibility of his own daughter. A death sentence for a family's first candidate.